Jerry Bader Show, 1021. The headline on the web story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel: time to start believing in the Milwaukee Brewers. They've now won 9 in a row. They have the best record in Major League Baseball and are leading their division at 10-2. Second place Cardinals come to town for a 3-game series. They're 7-5. The Brewers have swept 3 straight series, 2 on the road, 1 at home. After starting the season at home 1-2 against the Atlanta Braves. Is this real? Well, the honest answer there is it's too early to say. But let me just say this. You can look back at last year when they won 9 in a row in April and then had the May from hell. What did they go, 6-20-something? I don't recall right now. Could that happen again? Well, of course it could. It happened last year. It can happen again. Do I think this is the same team? No, I don't. One, they're generally healthy. If they stay generally healthy, I think, yeah, they can continue to be a contender. Now, what I said is I thought they were going to be better, but I didn't know that they had caught Cincinnati, St. Louis, and Pittsburgh. Here's the other thing. Here's what you have to ask is real. Is the pitching real? They quietly bolstered their pitching staff. Now, will the starting rotation dominate all season long? Probably not. There's going to be lulls. But if this is generally the quality pitching that the Milwaukee Brewers now have, yeah, then it's real. So those are my two ifs. If they stay healthy, they look like they can create runs, manufacture runs, and if the pitching staff is real. One other if: Ryan Braun thus far is feeding off the hatred in a positive way on the road. If that continues, that's going to be a factor. If he stays healthy, it's if. But I think, yes, the components of a legitimate contender are there. Friday was a seismic day in Wisconsin politics. Congressman Tom Petri decided either he or his family didn't have the fight in the belly for a primary, and he announced today that he's not seeking re-election. At a town hall meeting in Nina, he'll take questions, apparently. This has been painted by some of the Wisconsin media as the radical right pushing things to the right, and there's no room for moderates like Tom Petri. And, of course, it came the same day that Mike Ellis bowed to the scandal of a secretly recorded video and said he wasn't running. Okay. Does this mean there's a big push to the right? Well, yeah, everybody who runs in these two races likely are going to be to the right of the incumbents in the Republican primary. Yes. Tom Petri, though, his problem was more than just moderation. He just hasn't done anything. And he is now surrounded by Republicans in Wisconsin who are movers and shakers. And somebody finally challenged him. It was going to be Dewey Strable. Glenn Grothman jumped in first, and now Strable does. Here's the other element. How are these two retirements going to impact the fight to keep the state Senate in Republican hands? It's huge. Here we're seen as the three key races: Ellis's, Terry Moulton's in the Eau Claire area, and the open seat for Ryan O'Dale Schultz's seat. Okay, I discard the notion that Terry Moulton is threatened. Yes, statistically, that district is divided. I think Terry is safe. I believe Ellis was seriously threatened by Representative Penny Bernard Schaber. I did. And I think now, with an open seat, you're going to have several strong conservatives challenge for that primary. Murphy's been mentioned, the representative. Roger Roth, former representative. They said, yeah, I'm looking at it, and there may be others. But right now, Democrats have to feel fortunate that that's an open seat and not the power of the incumbency of Mike Ellis. Here's another wild card. It was widely believed that if Tom Petri ran for re-election and won, that it was going to be his last term. And then, in 2016, State Senator Joe Leibom, assuming he was re-elected this fall, would be midterm in 2016, and he was the heir apparent. That's not going to happen now. 15 minutes after Petri announced he wasn't running, Joe Leibom said he and his family would pray and consider and think about this and make an announcement soon as to whether he was going to run. It's widely believed Joe is going to run because he's waited. He's waited for Petri to step down, and he may never get another shot at this. So it's widely expected he's going to run. That creates a brand new dynamic in his 9th Senate district, because there's really no one perceived as the heir apparent to Joe. Now, that's considered a fairly solidly conservative seat, but it wasn't that way from 1960 to 2002, when it was held by Democrats and Joe edged out then-incumbent Jim Baumgart. So who runs in Joe's place? Nobody's sure. Most of the assembly representatives aren't running for their own seats in that district. One of the representatives in there has been considered a maybe, and I think he's a maybe. Here's an idea that I've heard that I find fascinating. Joe Leibom's brother, Mike, is a banker, well-known in the Sheboygan area, and of course would have the Leibom name throughout the district. I think that's an intriguing thought. But he has no real political experience. He's very politically connected. And Joe Leibom has no responsibility to secure the Senate for Republicans. If he wants to run for Congress, he should do that. By the way, Scott Fitzgerald is also talked about as a candidate. Boy, what a powerful primary field that would be. Strabel, Grothman, Leibom, Fitzgerald. It would be incredible. Just incredible. But it really does put it puts it at much greater risk, the Senate. Because you have an open seat there. Now you have an open seat with Ellis. And Howard Markline in Schultz's seat is not a lock. If Joe gets in, it makes the Senate, I think, much more vulnerable to be overtaken by Democrats. It's 10:29. All right. It doesn't feel like spring today, but time does march on, and so does the scale. As Jason and I are now both on Proactive Weight Loss Solutions, I have lost 47 pounds. Jason is in a little bit of a pause at 14. Mm-hmm. Actually, depending, I lost 47 or 48. It depends on the scale. I'm going to go on Dr. Littman's scale today, and then I'll know for sure.
There you go.
But this happens. Now, you lost a lot of weight right out of the chute.
Oh, yeah.
And you do taper off, but here's a beautiful thing. And this is where we call it a doctor-supervised weight loss program. You talk with Dr. Littman, and he comes up with different things to look at.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I mean, over the weekend, emailed him, and even on Friday, because you asked me, what are you doing over there?
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I'm emailing Dr. Littman, all right?
That's right.
Take it easy. I need some help here because it, kind of had plateaued out. And that's what he's there for. He helps you through this in every facet of the program.
Don't be surprised if he takes you off broccoli and cauliflower. Because apparently that develops estrogen in men.
Okay.
We do have estrogen.
Oh, yeah.
We men. But too much, and that blocks the weight loss. See, these are kind of, who would have known that?
Right.
And these are the types of things that you find out. By the way, I found out I love peppers again. I just forgot how much I love peppers and zucchini because he switched me over to these. So this is what we're talking about. You're not left out on your own. Mm-hmm. If you run into these plateaus, he'll deal with it. Again, it's 920-268-1386. And find out for yourself. Maybe it works for you. Maybe it doesn't. But Jason and I and a lot of Jerry Bader Show listeners have found out it works. Give a call at
920-268-1386.
Join the Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.